Our Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to another. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Well, these are strange times, and we are living in days when we need our hearts truly fixed in the Savior. The Bible speaks very clearly about the need for watching and waiting. But what does it mean for a person to be watching and waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus? Does it literally mean you stand out at your front door and look up into the sky? I don't think so. I think that we are to be prepared in heart, we are to hide God's word in our hearts, and we are to get on our knees and repent of our sins, calling on the Lord Jesus to be our own personal Savior. We need to know the gospel. We need to rejoice that Jesus went to the cross, and there at Calvary, he offered up himself as a sacrifice for sin, that he was our sin bearer upon that tree, so that all our sins were laid on Jesus. And as we rest and rejoice, and as we turn to the Lord with thanksgiving and say, Thank you, Lord, for dying in my place, I take you as my personal Savior, then you are truly watching and waiting. You are now resting in the redemption that was purchased by the death, the blood of the Lord Jesus, and you are living every day in simple personal saving faith in Christ as your Lord. Stay tuned as we go to the book of Matthew 24 again, and I trust that the Lord will minister to your heart.
Now, you might say, well, I do see negative things in this chapter, because it talks here about, in verse 15, of the prophecy of Daniel, when the Lord warned, Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, And let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter. Now, he's speaking here to disciples. He's speaking to his own church. And they would flee. Now you would say that's negative. That's something bad. But what we have here between verse 15 and verse 22, and again in verse 32 to 35, where it talks about verse 34, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled, which has given to many people the idea of an imminent return of the Lord Jesus. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now that was spoken by our Lord to his disciples. And however you stretch a generation, it's not much more than 40, 50 years. What was that event? We have to answer this. What was this watching and fleeing to the mountains? What was this that this generation would view and experience? It can only be interpreted if we don't write off this as imaginary language or figurative language. If we give any literal sense to these words at all, we have to see that this is the Roman destruction of the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem, where our Lord Jesus was crucified, rejected, and the blood of God's Son, the Jews themselves, let his blood be on us. And in AD 71, the Roman occupying forces encircled Jerusalem and destroyed it. Now the Lord warned the Christians. And I think words are even more specific in Luke 21, if you wish to turn to them. Luke 21, verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies. Now this is the same account, one by Matthew, one by Luke. There's another one by Mark, but it's the same sermon on the Mount of Olives. And Luke gives us this specific detail: when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. The Lord warned the Christians, this city is going to be destroyed. And the armies of occupation would besiege the city. And you're to watch for these developments. You're to watch for this to happen. And you are to flee. Get out of the city. There is no hope of salvation staying in the city. And in AD 71, it happened. The Jewish rapport with the Romans became worse and worse. And because of this madness of the Jewish mind, where they thought, well, we will have our own Messiah, and he will deliver us. We'll just thumb our noses at those Romans. And so they pressed, and they pressed the issues of Judaism to the point where they had an occupation army besieging their city. And the Christians got out. And it is well recorded that many of them fled to the city of Pella, which, if my geography is right, is away over in Macedonia, across Asia Minor, over into Europe, Macedonia. And they fled from the city. And they listened to the word of the Lord, the warning of the Lord. But the city of Jerusalem was totally wiped out. And in the madness of the Jewish mind, there was no surrender. And they slew one another in the city. They slew their own children. And the sanctuary of God was spoiled with blood. And Josephus, the Jewish historian, calculates that in Jerusalem and associated conflicts, 2 million Jews perished. And you could take into that the fall of Masada. About 2 years later, they had a last stand down near the Dead Sea in a mountainous region on a little mountaintop where they thought, well, they'll never come and get us here. there, they ended up killing themselves. It was a most ugly, ugly piece of history. But that's what the Lord was warning about here. And there's an insert. When our Lord said to these disciples, these stones will not be left one standing upon another. And it happened when the Romans came and that city was just razed to the ground. Left standing. But to the Christian, there is but good. There is but promises of good and mercy, of grace and of God's favor. And as you can see, these two things are intermeshed now. And this is a bit of a difficulty interpreting these passages because some things are referring to that event in Jerusalem. Some things are referring to the return of the Lord. And if you don't get those sorted out, you end up getting things a little convoluted. But the Lord, in referring to his return, said there will be no sign given. There will be no sign given at all. Look at verse 30. Back now in Matthew 24 and verse 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. No sign until the sign. You know, there's no precursor. There is no prior warning. There is no calculating. There is no timetable given that we can even begin to calculate. When might the end come? But rather we're told, as it was in the days of Noah, right down there in verse 36. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what happened in the days of Noah? They had the building of the ark, which was the way to be saved. It was good. They had the preaching of Noah. Get right with God and come into the ark. But there was no negative warning. There was no black clouds in the sky. There were no pre-warnings of wrath and judgment on the earth. The animals were fat on the green lush pastures. They were growing in population. They were eating and drinking and marrying. They were enjoying all the good things until the day the rain came and judgment came. And our Lord says, so shall it be right to the end of the world. We will enjoy good things right to the very end. Now, the Lord also taught this in the parable of the wheat and the tares. What was to happen to those tares that were growing amongst the wheat? The Lord said, let both grow together until the harvest. And that's what's happening in the world today. God is dealing with this world in goodness and mercy. And while wicked men plan their wars and they plan their evil, God has a plan of mercy and grace toward his people. In Matthew 4:5 and 45, we're told that the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. He causes the wicked to enjoy all the good things with the righteous. And you know, this answers a whole lot of questions that we may have. We may see the wicked, as David did, spread themselves like a green bay tree and say, why does God prosper that person? And maybe you feel that you don't even get ahead and don't have the privileges that the wicked have. But God has a plan of mercy for his people. And it is an eternal plan. Now, all of this secrecy of the Lord's return, the fact that there is no prior warnings, there is no sign given that we may say, well, it's going to come very soon now. It's all for this reason. And if you go down to verse 42, you'll get the therefore. The therefore of all that our Lord has been saying. Here's the application of it now. Watch, therefore. For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch. And then in verse 46, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not. And with all these prognosticators and fortune future tellers who say, well, the Lord's going to come on a certain date. He's going to come way over there or come very, very soon. Maybe he's going to come today. Nobody knows. Therefore, every Christian is told to watch and be ready. And that brings us to this communion table. How are we to watch? This do till he come. We're not to be looking for some signs. We're not to be looking for wars and signs of end times galore all around us. We're not to be reading the newspaper every day in light of these chapters or statements of the Lord Jesus. This do till he come. Keep your heart and mind fixed on Calvary, on the cross work of the Lord Jesus, on all the benefits of redemption. And this gospel shall be preached unto every nation before the end come. This gospel. And here we are today, we're to fill our minds with the glories of the gospel. Not weird signs. Not speculations, but the gospel. Let's think just now on what our Lord wants us to be doing until he comes. Missionary work is vast. The nations need this gospel. Our own country is in need of this gospel. How do we keep our own hearts in a wicked world? How do we survive all these things? This do. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. I would say this, the Christian that is not meditating and thereby benefiting from the redeeming work of Christ daily is backsliding. The Christian that does not, in their personal devotions and their personal walk with the Lord, does not give some thought every day to what Christ has accomplished in his death, is losing out with God. Why did the Lord institute this table and say, this do? Because we get away from the cross. We forget and neglect that redemption which he purchased. And we stop rejoicing in the blood that he has shed and in the knowledge of our sins forgiven. And we get so caught up in the do's and don'ts of our Christian life that we stop feasting on the Passover lamb. This do. And I know that if we were to announce a speculative conference on the second coming of the Lord, we would have all kinds of interested parties. But if you do announce that we're going to have a communion service to do what Jesus wants us to do until he returns, it'll be a limited show. Why is that? Because the Lord ordained this due to our tendency to run after speculative new things. Whereas the strength of our soul, the feeding of our soul, the keeping of our hearts is to do this. Do this. Look at the bread. Take the cup. Meditate on what it cost our Lord to provide this offering. Oh, if only Jerusalem had done that. If only these Jews that were slaughtered in Jerusalem had listened to this gospel. If only they had turned their eyes away from the stones of the temple and turned their eyes away from the years of tradition, fixed their hearts on the blood of Calvary, what a different outcome it would be. And that's what we need to do. That's what you need to do every day of your life. If you want to maintain fellowship with God, if you want to maintain the grace of God, if you want to grow as a Christian, you must every day, as a Puritan put it, trade in the heavenly business of redemption. That's what we're to do. Let's take the advice of our Lord today. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. This do. And as we come to the communion table together, let us do it reverently. Let us do it solemnly. Let us do it also with praises. This is not a funeral service. This is a glorying in redemption. This is boasting in the cross. This is ceasing from my own treadmill works, getting to the finished work of Calvary. This is filling my heart with assurance that while my works are nothing, Christ is everything. This is to say, I take this cup, I eat this bread, I enter into the work of another. And by faith I eat and drink, that this is God's saving way of bringing me to glory. And he's working that in my heart day by day. That's really practical Christianity. Practical Christianity to some people is knocking doors with Bible in hand and being that living witness. No doubt that's very practical, and I wish everybody did it. But while everybody has that idea of practical Christianity, very few do it. So who can claim it? But practical Christianity is applying what happened on the cross 2,000 years ago and saying that all that Jesus did, all that he accomplished and all that he triumphed over, I make mine. I make mine. And I enter in and I rejoice in it. This do in remembrance of me. Our eyes and our heart are to be fixed on the Lord Jesus. And as we live the Christian life, let me tell you, this is the most difficult thing. We've got all kinds of reading, all kinds of advertising, all kinds of interruptions, distractions. And when it comes to Christian things, let's be honest now. This is not easy on the flesh. And there's great concentration, great determination needed to obey this command, this do. In remembrance of me. But let me tell you, if Calvary gets a greater grip of our hearts, if the Spirit of God works in us what the Lord desires for us, we will be new men and women. We will walk differently in this world, and we will learn the triumph of the cross in our daily walk. That's what we must look to today. So watch, therefore. Be ye also ready, filling your heart and mind with these glorious things. May the Lord write them on our heart.
Thank you so much for joining with us through the program here today. And I pray that God will give you great peace in these days of trouble and trial in our nations. This coronavirus spreading so rapidly and affecting so many people, which leads to death. This is deathly serious. And we recognize that many are looking for words of hope. We're so glad that we're in the ministry of the gospel, day by day preaching the way of the cross, the way of redemption by the blood of Jesus, and that we have a Savior from all sin. Now, to watch and wait, that is the command that is given to us, to not be complacent. And that's what happens when people live their lives on materialism and on success. They forget God. They become heedless and thoughtless. I don't need church. I don't need the Bible. I don't need the gospel. I don't need to even think about death itself. Well, death is coming. And life is tenuous, and we need to have the Savior. And I would invite you to pray with me today and call on the Lord to save your soul, to be right, just to know that you have salvation, that your sins are washed away, that you have this personal relationship with the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way to the Father. He is the only mediator between God and men. So please join with me as we unite in prayer for a moment. Father in heaven, we come to thee today and pray that you will remember the hearts of men. Remember the burden that many have as they think of the virus that is spreading across this nation, that is infecting multitudes of people and is even leading to deaths. O Lord, will you comfort the sorrowing? Will you calm the fearful? And we pray for the elderly, that you will watch over them. We pray for the comfort of the Lord to their hearts. We thank thee for those that are in Christ, that have taken refuge in the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus. And for those that are caring for those who are sick, for nurses and doctors, family members, O Lord, be gracious to strengthen and help them in this time of great need. We pray for the comfort of the Lord. We pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten and to give that saving faith to truly rest everything upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his great name. Thank you again for listening in. This is Ian Gallagher, and I do invite you to call or email. You can go to our website and get all the information of our ministry on radio at our church, and of course we ever invite you along. And all these details are coming up at the close of the program. Again, I want to say I am here for you. If I can pray with you, feel free to be in touch. May God, in his great grace, minister to your heart, draw very close to you at this time. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.